about transformation. The creation of God. You are the creation of God. That's not somewhere out there, oh, God, it's creation. You are his creation. And more than anything, a new creation born by the Spirit. You were born of parents. You're all in the flesh this morning. You're here. You're present in that way. But you have actually been born again by the Spirit of God. We have been born into the place where we grow up in his character, and then we live in his community, which helps us. So all of these are transforming factors. His creation transforms you. The idea that you are his transformation, his creation, that you are now growing in his character and you are growing in his community, which shapes you and transforms you. Amen? We're going to talk about today what happens when he commissions his creation that's growing in his character and belongs to his community. What happens when he does what he does? The world wants to commission you to many things. Wants to commission you to a Black Friday sale and wants to start early on that. Wants to commission you to Christmas and all the things that requires you to do from their perspective. It was amazing. Candace just commissioned you what Jesus wants you to do. Is actually like, you know, let's celebrate this together. The greatest moment that ever happened was Jesus coming to earth. And so we can celebrate that in a whole meaningful and powerful way. So we're getting commissioned. But, you know, things have commissions for you. Your job has commissions for you. Your family might have commissions for you. So actually, this is really interesting because we get to say, where does God's commission fit in with all those other commissions? Is it first or last? Is it has to sneak in somewhere in between? So we're going to talk about God's plan for us. And, you know, having just been in to Thailand with three different nations, Australia, Thailand, and Philippines represented, and be able to talk with leaders from those churches and stirring with what God might do in this space and what God might want to do across the planet. This might get a little bit big this morning, but I'll try and keep the wheels on the ground. Because as Gav was talking about last week, this transforming reality that's happening in community brings us to worship and fellowship and the witness of what God is doing among us. And it's actually the witness that the Holy Spirit really wants to commission in each one of our lives. We could just do church with worship. Amazing, isn't it? We could do worship like we did this morning, and that would be something we're going to do in eternity. And we could just do fellowship all week long, and that's something we're going to do both with God and one another in eternity. But God's actually called us while we're on earth to be his witnesses. We're actually commissioned for this to come out of us. And so we talked about, you know, God, you've done something in us in being a new creation, and you know that's something you're doing new. And then when you're doing something in us with our character, and then you're doing something in growing us up in this family. You put us in a family so that people can recognize that we're growing up and what we need to grow up. And when we need to be told to grow up, then some of you have done that really well over the years. Told people they need to grow up, I'm talking about. And then there's a sense of, but now we need to actually also grow outward. Now, I'm not talking about the waistline, okay, which Christmas is coming. But that would be a manifestation that of fruitfulness. In certain ages, not only a couple of hundred years ago, that would be a sign of fruitfulness and mean that you had a bountiful life. Okay? Now it's the other way, you know. But growing outward, we believe that God is actually wanting us to engage others. That our witness of him is to engage others. That our life in him, the creation, character, and community of God actually is all set to engage others and be commissioned to do so, so that he would be glorified. So God's mission, we've been looking at actually the whole time this month. For the love of Christ now controls us. Because we've concluded this is the mission that he was on, God's mission. That one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. That is miraculous. Sometimes people are like, we need to see more miracles in the church. This is miraculous. That people stop thinking about themselves and understand that they fully live for Christ and others. That is miraculous. But we also have looked at in this time 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is what God's done, but then if anyone is in this work of Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God through Christ. Reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, he was reconciling the world to himself. So this is what God's doing. He's actually not just saying, hey, I want to transform you. I then want others to see that in this Christ, that God was actually reconciling the world to himself. So it's not like I'm in the band and that's it. It's like, it's that you are now a picture of what everyone can walk in. Not counting their trespasses against themselves or against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We've got this message. We're living this message. We're in Christ. He's moving this through us. We are regenerating day by day. We're reminding one another. You're reconciled to him. Live like it. But we're going to focus on this today. In 2 Corinthians 5, 20 to 21, he says, since God's done this with his mission, and since he's brought this regeneration to your life, that causes you to miraculously, powerfully, mind-blowingly, in a world that's all about themselves, live outside of yourself, right? You think about when you've just loved someone and thought about them, like genuinely. Like, it's not just a good thought to make you feel good about yourself, that you've given someone something, because it does feel good to give. But God has compassionately commissioned you to do something towards someone, and they've known that no one else could have known but a living God, and he's used you as an agent. Think about that. Remember those moments where God's done that? That is mind-blowing. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So it says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, or for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Well, I grew up in South Australia where they used to do Christmas appeals all the time. At Christmas, everybody should think about the poor and make sure we're, you know, it's a big appeal, and there used to be phone calls and people used to ring in and give thousands of dollars. But God is actually saying, I'm making a different sort of appeal through you. I'm making an appeal that people would become new creations, full of his character, part of his community, that they might be those who are commissioned for eternity. The commission we have is an appeal. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our cry. Implore. Wow, that's an interesting word, isn't it? As your friends, your colleagues, your families, as the moment opens up, God wants to rush through your life with the message and the testimony of his goodness to you, even when it's been hard, and tell them, implore them, this is my appeal. I don't have anything else, but I have Christ. I'm not going to give you a self-help book. I'm not going to tell you a way that you can, you know, watch something or do something to try and fix it that's worldly. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to make a heart-impassioned plea that what has really changed my life is Jesus. That's an ambassador. I am carrying his message. I don't have a message of my own. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I have his message. And a life that's being transformed, and situations that I live in to prove his goodness and his love, just as you do. Amen? God's mission, and we have these slides, they're on our app afterwards, so you don't have to get all the information off of them, but they're just there so you can dig a bit deeper afterwards. But God's mission, as revealed in the Bible, is a comprehensive plan to reach and redeem all of creation with ultimate purpose of glorifying himself, because he is glorious. The church exists for God's glory, advancing the kingdom through church planting, missional living, global evangelism. We need to let God's mission shape our priorities, our strategies, and our plans. It's like what we're saying here is, God's got the biggest, amazing plan you ever come up with. Just let it be settled. You haven't got a better one. I haven't got a better one. It's like, God, can we negotiate on that? Because I think I've got some ideas here. I'd like to see this happen and that. He's like, I'm all in for a relationship. I want your color, your uniqueness, and your personality to shine out. We can discuss it on the way. But he has the plan. Now, that should be great security for the year sixes. God has the plan. As much as your teacher will have the voice into that plan, God has the plan. Year 12s, God has the plan. We're finishing up. God has the plan. He has it marked out for you. You're like, oh, well, what do I have to do then? Discover. Discover how good he is every day of your life. Discover who he really is. And we'll be doing it for eternity. Discover. You're an explorer. You get to discover. You get to unlock. You don't have to come up with a plan. What a relief. God's glory is the goal of mission. So we're getting this out of there quickly, okay? Church planting and establishing and strengthening, which we do all over the world, is so important because it's a God-ordained strategy for mission. When churches like us are gathering all over the world, strengthening one another, reminding one another we're the new creation, that God's growing us up in character and being commissioned by him, then the church becomes what it's always meant to be. His picture of glory engaging the world. It's his glory. We are his glory. I don't know if I can get over that. We're his bride. We're his people. We're his body. We're his glory. I'm like, wow. I'm the way that God is going to show his glory to the world. Josh was talking about excuses. I can't get out from underneath that. When you are part of him, you are his glory reflecting device on the planet. You are made for his glory. You are for his glory. You deliver his glory. I don't know about you, but that makes me just want to go, Lord, I want your plan, your purpose, your ways flowing through this just to be able to honor you. And then he gives us his message. I wouldn't know what to say to my friends. He's like, I give this to you. But all over the world, churches are gathering today and being encouraged and encouraging one another towards this mission. Missional living is the natural response. Isn't that beautiful? The natural response of a believer is missional living. It's not something you graduate into. At day dot, he says, you've become a new creation. You are now a reconciling person. Therefore, you have a message of reconciliation, and I'm making you an ambassador. What will you say when you get to the people that I'm sending you to? You will appeal. I saw some appealing yesterday as I arrived home. I saw the ashes. What a glorious picture. Sorry for the English in the room. What I'm about to say. But there was an appeal. There was a plead. And there was ultimately surrender. What a picture of the gospel. Come on, Aussies. We had to do it just once. Okay. I'll cut that out of the message. It's okay. It won't go around the world. I hope it does in some supporters. But anyway. But this missional living is a natural response for us now. And it's the responsibility of every believer. Wow, I love that. Because sometimes it's been thought that the people who stand on stages and they do the mission stuff and, you know, and we just like wait for them to do that and help them do that and support them. No, no, the mission is always on. The moment you are saved, you've become a reconciled wrecking ball for the kingdom of heaven. You are rolling through people's lives and worlds and you are like, I am here. And I have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not a finished work right now, but I'm on the way to that. His finished work is done, but I am a work in progress, and I am releasing this because I don't know anything else but Christ crucified. So what has happened to us? What has caused us to be these natural tendency responding everyday believers on a mission? Well, firstly, we've understood, as we talked through a series, that the love that we are controlled by, that now has taken over our life, is from God. We've stopped searching for the love of the world. Money, lust, the desires of the flesh, they're nothing to us now. We're now controlled by the love of God. We found the true, real deal. Nothing else will matter. The transforming power of God means that our whole spiritual growth is leading to something different. And the power of this is huge. This mission, this desire of God is amazing. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. You haven't just been brought in as some, you know, redeemed slaves, which God had pity on. And went, I'll redeem you, and you know, I'll start an orphanage, and I'll feel good about myself for, you know, looking after you for a while. And other people can even send money and help, and they can feel good about themselves. That's not what God did. God says, I'll bring you in, and I'll make you my children. I'll restore you to the plan. You are adopted sons and daughters. You have received the status alongside of Christ, his Son, of walking with that freedom, carrying that glory, knowing that he will do what he needs to do. Amen? So we've not unsettled it. We've settled love is from God. And that the Holy Spirit's power in us, remember this picture? The Holy Spirit's power in us has done a remarkable work that could be almost aligned to the fact that we have been totally transformed, even in the way we outwork life. So now we are different, not only inside, but outside. You know, the thing of like, you know, can I be a Christian and just keep it all inside? Apparently not. In Romans 1, when God says, look at all creation, shows how I transform things. You can be a little long, lot-legged, lots of legs, caterpillar, and be transformed into a beautiful butterfly. That's God. Dave says, amen. But there is a process in the middle, and it's called the death of death. The death to flesh, the desires we had, and coming alive in his life and his desires. And that's the spread your wings moment. You are now glorifying God, not because of anything you've done, but because of what he's done in that moment when Christ went into the tomb and the enemy thought, now I've killed him. Finally, the enemy said, this is done now. And out comes Jesus, resurrected in glory, in power, defeating the very thing that Satan was trying to hold us all in, death. And now he brings life. Not only will that transformation be in this life, in the way that God pours out his Spirit through us and releases that through us, but actually it will be revealed in eternity to come. The fullness of those who have been adopted in, brought into God, transformed by him, and now living in a different way. As Trav walks through the door with his daughter, I'm reminded of what Trav told me this morning. Do you know what he was actually prophesying here? He was saying, leave your crowns and your rags, the things that you might have thought were awesome about what you've done and achieved, leave them at the door. Put them on the coat hanger. Leave them there. Come in. Receive your heavenly robes. Receive your heavenly reality of your glory, reflecting him. And then when you go out, don't put that back on. Leave it there. And we will just take it and put it in the dustbin. Holy Spirit will. He'll just say, you don't need that anymore. Don't put it back on. God really desires that we would live in his transformed state. There's more good news, okay? I'm going to finish really. This is going to be a short message because we had a long start to the meeting. This is the second thing we need to know. Everything is about to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I've been hanging out with Filipino pastors, and everything's hallelujah at the end of their sentence, and to God be the glory. And I'm like, it gets into you, you know? And I don't want to turn into one of those preachers who says that all the time, but it's just that's the way that they're expressing it. And they're Filipino, so they usually speak Cebuano, which is a different language, but when they say it in English, it sounds like a guttural, like, hallelujah, to God be the glory. Every sentence, when they're excited about something, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. I'm like, whew, maybe we should be saying that. How'd that go in your workplace? Something good happens. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. What's going on here? I can't wait for that to happen. Someone's going to do that now. I can sense it. I can feel it. The butterfly's coming out the cocoon. But what about living life outside of ourselves? You know, everything trains Aussies to be so radical of heart and feel like we're in a freeness, and yet we're so conservative when it comes to Christ. These people, the appeal that comes through people who've been transformed, it's not pride, it's genuine appeal. It's Christ who's done this in me. There's no other plan for me. Sorry if that offends you. That's what you're saying to your friends. That's what hallelujah, glory to God means. When you say God be the glory, you're like, I'm sorry, I'm a new creation and I'm living a new way. I'm reconciled and I'm reconciling what's going on in me. We're free of the curse. We can't do what people used to do under the curse. Because we do what people do when we're free of the curse. It's all from God. We remind ourselves of that. Suddenly, we're putting on a new way of living. Put on then as God's chosen ones. God's chosen ones. God's chosen ones. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you all must always forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. God was talking about this last week. This binding together with Christ causes us to break ties with things, grudges, rights, things that we would have held on to. Who's getting free when you're holding unforgiveness? This is real. And Paul goes on and says, so let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Not bitterness, not envy, not jealousy, not rivalry. Don't let that rule. Let the peace of Christ rule. Rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. We're doing a whole Thanksgiving month. I'm telling my American friends, you guys only do like a day. We've taken the whole of November. Come on, Aussies. In fact, anyone in the world who's not American celebrating Thanksgiving, Josh, yeah, we're taking it. We're taking Thanksgiving month. I want to be thankful every day. And whatever we do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's our appeal. It's like when something happens and God moves in bad situations or good situations, we're like, and now I'm going to say, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be a part of it. Now, here's the big thing. It's for all eternity. We're loved by God, and it's from God. It's to his glory, and this is for all eternity. This is not a 5-year election cycle or a 4-year one or a 3-year one. This is not going to be a promise made that's not kept. This is a long-term relationship. God will outlast all of your other relationships, and he will deliver the relationship that truly matters. It is the union and the mystery of the power of how he is with his people, his plan, his promise, and his purpose outworked. He made known this mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were like, this will be awesome. This will be good. And this is what we want. And no matter what is happening over our lives, that is what is happening in the life that is in them. And we have purposed in Christ to be put into effect. I love that sort of like intentionality. Because when we're talking about commission, it's like this is their plan. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being put into effect. Oh, I don't know if I like that, Ben. I don't know if I like that idea. I had a few plans I wanted to do for the next 5 years. They're putting into effect their plan. And they're saying, chosen ones, are you available? It doesn't sound so optional. It doesn't sound like a suggestion. It's like we're putting into effect the plan. You're now hearing this message today. Do you want to be involved in that? And God is such an inviter that he'll be like, it is your choice. And I'm like, I wouldn't give people a choice anymore. God, I want them to be. But we know he wants the true love of a bride and a person and a son and a daughter responding, making a way for us. To put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. So we are these witnesses to what God is doing, ambassadors of Christ, and we're part of the renewal of all things. Do you know that? You're part, when you say yes to Jesus and you say, yes, Lord, put it into effect in my life, you are now a part of the great revolution that is happening, that God is renewing all things through us to himself, or through him to himself. We are ambassadors of Christ. Remember that being loved by God, we've now received his message. We've been commissioned in the Spirit with the power of love and not fear. So I think, hang on, God, I'm fearful of that situation or that person or that. But I don't get to do that because the peace of God rules my heart and you are controlling me and your love is too good and it's too good to be able to keep back from letting God do what he wants to do and I'm part of the bigger plan. So I'm going. And you have been made like Timothy, who was a son in the faith, an agent of truth. Do you remember what he said? For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Power. Because Jesus was gentle in his power, not dominant. He didn't need to show everybody he had it. He just had it. It was natural. It was from the Father. It was given. He had the love that was in the triune Godhead. And so he didn't have to try to be getting it from other people. He didn't come in a needy way. He didn't say, I need your love. He said, I'm coming with love. And when others were losing their minds, he was self-control. And that's what rules our lives. His power, his love, his self-control. When everything's going crazy around you, Jesus knows exactly what should be happening. Be with him. So as a church that started the year saying, actually, we're made for mission. God made us for his mission. It wasn't more like we're made for mission and built to last. It was more like, oh, we're made for mission. And he wants to build us to last. It was a more humble response. Oh, did we realize that? You are made for mission. You are built to last. You are an eternal being in your spirit. But he's causing us to be Christ-like, gentle, and strong. It's fear that does other things. It's guilt and shame that causes us to pull back. Jesus has dealt with that. He wants us to be like him, compassionate, courageous, and know we're called and chosen because he's chosen us. Who are we as his church? We're members of him. Motivated by him, magnifying him, and missional from the get-go. From day dot, there's a mission in our heart. How do we operate in Christ? With mercy, with the maturity that he brings, and we multiply. We're going to talk about multiplication in January. What does spiritual multiplication look like? And what is the truth that you and I are taking out of this room today? What is our appeal? What does it do for those who like Ben? But what does it do, Ben? What does an appeal do? I'm a doer person. Anybody like that? You need to know the outcome. Outcome, people, this is the outcome. It brings relief to people who are absolutely distressed. It brings refuge for people to be restored and healed. And it brings restoration that will see them live and be eternal, not temporal, in their outlook on everything. I don't know, but I reckon as an outcome person, that might be helpful to know. It's going to make an impact. Appeal with the thing that really matters. Just so we know how big this is going. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain, for the former things have passed away." This is the big plan of God. And it says again, look where it says, "Behold, and he who is seated on the throne," the one who is ruling, the one who is king over all kings, says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." He says, "I'm doing it." He did not say, "You need to do it." He said, "I'm doing it." The one who is on the throne is saying, "I am making all things new." I want to add for Australians to clarify, he's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to allow him to do it in you. Will you let him make all things new? When you're struggling in a family situation, when you're struggling with things at work, when you're struggling through life, when you're struggling with yourself and your thoughts, will you let him do it? That's always asking, "Can I be king now? Can I have that little crown you're wearing? I've got a better one. And can you just respond to the gentle, compassionate, courageous king who is asking, can I commission you?" You see, if you've got your plan, then you're commissioning it. You're bringing it into effect. You're the God of your life. And what we find in the scripture is that he said, no, I've released you from that. I can be God of your life. I can take the plan and the purpose. You can be my co-worker, my fellow child in the living God, is what Jesus is saying, and you can walk in this.